Inside Outdoors, coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now, we're outside indoors, beat on a book on a snowy day.
Hey now, we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors with Don Jordan, Buddy Bill, and Rich Reardon gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors, hunting, fishing, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues, and just down-home family fun. Inside Outdoors is an enjoyable and informative way to learn about what nature has to offer and how to be a good steward. You can find us at InsideOutdoorsRadio.com, and we invite you to write in about your fish stories, outdoor stories, favorite places, questions, or just about anything you want us to talk about on the show. So sit back with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich for another episode of Inside Outdoors.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliance.
That's right, Morrison's Appliances and Service on West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana. Serving Monroe County since 1954 with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com. Hello. Good
hey,
morning.
We're on. Oh, okay.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. By golly, glad you could join us this morning. This is Inside Outdoors, and believe it or not, I'm Buddy Bill, and we've got our buddy back from Montana.
Yes, I'm fresh in from Big Sky, Jordan. I'm Don Jordan.
You're Don Jordan, Big right. Sky Country. Great time, I hope.
Pretty much.
Beautiful
yeah.
Weather.
Weather was great.
That's wonderful. Did you see any snow or anything?
No, thank God. No, I got out of there before the snow.
You got out of there?
It was dropping down in the 30s at night when I left.
And it was.
Yeah, I figured it was time to get out of there.
I'd say, yeah, it was time to move. I can understand that.
Well,
yeah.
When the snow falls up on the Beartooth Pass, that's 10,000 feet. It could not fall. It might not fall down where you are.
Well,
but the pass would be closed when you get up there.
That's right.
So you got to turn around and drive back down.
Uh-huh.
That's not a wise thing.
No, not out there in them places.
Well, I'm gone, and I had a great time. Appreciate the hospitality from my friends. And they're back now, too, although my friend Mike's going back out on Labor Day. He likes to go back out for September. And, he's a cold weather guy.
Oh,
likes,
yeah.
He likes that stuff. Of course, now, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, we had that 16 inches of snow on the 13th of September. And he wasn't too happy about that. Of course, I wasn't either.
I wouldn't be either. But you can expect that.
Yes, you can.
Out there in September.
Absolutely.
When it hits the first, Labor Day or first September, whichever, you can kind of expect up there where you're at or where you go, you can see snow flurries and snow.
Well, the earliest I recall snow building up on the deck in order that you could write your name on it, whatnot, that was on a September 10th. So, September 10th is the earliest I've seen an accumulation of snow.
Yeah.
But you can get snow flurries in July,
Well, yeah. Well, where we went up there in Wyoming, the Riverside, what was last? Yeah, we was there up there for a year ago. And I was talking to the owner, Karen, there, the owner of the cabin we was staying in, the campground. And she said that year, and this was October, she didn't think that it had, there was a month that went by that it didn't snow flurry a little.
Huh.
Now, we're talking June, July, August, September, but she said there was not couldn't remember a month that went by that they didn't have some snow flurries.
Yes, well, it's that latitude also. When I lived in northern Wisconsin up by Superior, I remember snowing in July.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, snow.
Oh, actual snow.
Snow,
yes.
And And so it's anything's possible. Of course, when it's not snowing at that latitude, it's really nice.
Oh, yeah.
It's really nice.
Beautiful. It's beautiful country, yeah. We got another guy in there that's on this show, too. His name's Rich.
Hey, I'm sitting right here.
he's listening.
Yeah.
He's just taking it all in.
Well, I got a quick question. You're talking about snow.
Yeah.
If you get caught, you know, on one side of the pass, like, how do you get home? I mean, do you have to go up through Wyoming or, I mean, through Montana to get back? Or?
It's relatively easy if you're talking about the Beartooth Pass.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're coming in from Red Lodge and you get to the top, well, actually, they usually have the gate closed down at the bottom if it's closed at the top, but
right.
Not always. So if you get to the top and you find out that you can't get through, you have to turn around, go back to Red Lodge, cut across to Belfry, Wyoming, and go up through Dead Indian Pass to get to Highway 212 and on into the park.
Mm.
Now, if you're coming from the other way, that means you got that route in reverse, and you can get on out to Billings, or you can go back to Cody, actually to Gardner even, or Livingston if you want. So there's ways to get around it. It just takes a little driving to get up there to the top, you know. And
yeah, we've run into that time or two out there when we went out there hunting.
Well, it's not a lot of fun when that happens.
No, you know? No, it's not.
Because usually you're ended up driving back down in ice and snow.
Uh-huh, exactly.
And it's not all that good.
No, I didn't appreciate it myself when we got up to the top of Rocky Mountain and the gate was closed and it's snowing like a son of a gun and ice and snow all the way up there and then had to turn around and come back. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Well,
it's not fun.
It isn't the best thing. So you try to find out if the pass is closed before you can go, and you can find that out by calling the State Highway Department.
Uh-huh.
Of course, if you don't have a phone, you're in trouble.
Well, supposedly they had a sign at the foot of the hill that somebody had turned that sign around the other way, or they never did turn it to start with. I don't know which. And so we didn't know it till we got to the top.
That surely happens, doesn't it?
Yeah, it did there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Sure did.
Well, speaking of snow, we don't have any right now. It's 59 degrees, so but it's starting to feel a little bit more like it's getting towards fall.
Well, I noticed that there was a lot of brown, crispy leaves laying around in my yard when I got home. So
yeah, I noticed ash trees was losing their leaves. Walnut leaves are coming down. There's a lot of leaves starting to flicker through the air.
It's that time of year, you know. Actually, we're always surprised when fall sneaks up on us in August, but it usually does start showing this time of year. And one thing I have noticed is there's not as many squirrels this year, at least.
You know, I haven't seen many squirrels either.
I haven't talked to my old squirrel hunting buddy. We don't agree politically anymore, I guess, so he's not my squirrel hunting buddy. I'm sad to say, but I don't know. I don't see many around our house. And early on, I would have said it was for lack of food, but right now there seems to be plenty of spignuts, at least, falling out of the hickories. So I don't know what's going on with them.
I don't know either.
We got this, Rich mentioned it on the phone the other day, that we have this epizootic hemorrhagic disease in deer again.
Yeah.
In Indiana, down in Clark County, according to the DNR, they've had the most cases. So it's again in southern Indiana, and this is the one they call blue tongue sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
And it's caused by the transmission of this virus in the bite of a no-see-um. You know, you used to only have no-see-ums, either sand flies down in the south or no-see-ums up in the north, you know, up in Canada and whatnot. Now we got them here.
Oh, we got them thick.
We got them here. Little biting little devils.
Oh, son, they'll bring you right up out of your seat.
I'm telling you, I don't really care for them.
I don't either.
Although, you know, I guess there's beauty in everything, but.
Well, I guess it makes food for something. I don't know what.
I don't know. It's
frogs or something.
DNR is saying it could have an impact on deer population. Well, isn't that kind of what they want?
Yeah, a little control.
Uh-huh. They want some fewer deer, and so do the insurance companies. So you don't suppose they turned loose these flies down in southern Indiana just to reduce the deer population?
I doubt it. I imagine they've been transported in. We get so much stuff. We get so much stuff overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Fruits and and vegetables and stuff are shipped in here by boat, and of course that's where a lot of them snakes and flies and bugs of all kinds come over here, and we end up with them. And
it's happened time and again.
Yes, and they're not supposed to do that. It's supposed to be taken care of, but that's not the way it is. We end up with them, and then the next thing you know, why it's killing fruit trees or ash, just like the ash borer. Where'd it come from?
Well,
somewhere it came from.
We
somewhere.
Got the Japanese beetle.
And so, you know.
Yes, there's lots of critters sneaking in on us.
There's a lot of critters sneaking in. And
hey, we got a phone call here.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Hello there. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hey.
Yeah, now that you mention it, I have noticed that there's kind of a paucity of squirrels. But isn't this also a really big year for rabbits?
I have seen a lot of rabbits this year in my yard.
Yeah, those
rabbits
those
seem to be just doing tremendously this year.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of rabbits myself.
I wonder what happened to the coyotes.
Well, let's
hope. That's why the rabbits are doing so well.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's one reason, because them coyotes will clean them out.
Well, I have to tell you, I haven't heard the coyotes running around like they were last year either. I haven't, you know how they start yelping and stuff once
yeah,
in a while?
I haven't heard them since I got home, so I don't know. Maybe they have some kind of disease wiping them out.
We could eliminate a lot of them.
Well, won't hurt us too much.
No, it won't hurt a thing.
There is a place for them, however. They are very smart critters.
The great thing about the coyote is they're coy.
Yes.
Hardly ever see them. They're very coy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's why they're coyotes.
Yeah. You can hear them chorusing back and forth.
Yes, I like to hear them, actually.
Yeah.
Well, so what part of the county or what county do you live in?
Well, I'm in Monroe County right in town.
Uh-huh, so you're seeing rabbits in your yard too, huh?
Yeah, in town we just got a ton of rabbits.
Yeah, right, me too. Now you take your beagle out to John Brown, the farmer's field, and there are no rabbits. You know why there's no rabbits? It's because there's no brush piles, there's no fence rows, there's no place for them to hide. So, we have lots of places for them to hide here in
town.
Yeah,
we got a lot of nice woody areas.
Yes, right. And, I'm glad that you noticed that, too. I'm beginning to think that maybe I was just seeing things.
Well, of course, we got several, but we generally always have them around the buildings and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But there's still a lot of rabbits.
There are a lot of rabbits.
And that's good. I'm glad, because they're for a long time. Well, they's like the quail. They was vanishing quick.
Yes, well, their advantage is they can walk and run.
Mm-hmm.
And
getting whole and
getting
stuff
hole,
like that. Yeah,
right. They have a little bit of an advantage over a bird. They need the birds, frankly, the quail are gone for all practical purposes.
Yeah, I hope we do, but I don't think we'll see them like we used to.
And they still have an 8-bird limit in southern Indiana.
Well, they oughtn't even be a hunting season.
Well, it's just ridiculous. And I've all along believed that we keep that because we have these canned hunting places for quail and pheasant down here,
mm-hmm.
where people pay and go in and shoot these tame birds. And if you only get 5 birds or 3 birds, they figure they're not getting their money's worth. They do have to follow the state bag limits at these canned hunting places. So you pay your $100 to go in and hunt quail, and you only get three birds, you're probably not going to come back. But if you get eight, well, yeah, that
makes, yeah, you got the limit.
Yeah, you got the limit.
Yeah, I'm going to go back.
I'm going back. That's right. That's how they stay in business. Stay in business. Well, in any case, what do you hear about anything else going on around here, Bill? Oh, and who's our caller?
We still got our caller on there.
My name's Bob, and I'm going to sign off.
All right.
Oh, Bob. Well, thanks for calling, man.
And we got somebody else calling in, so let me answer that. And then thanks for calling, Bob.
There's not a whole lot been going on, bud.
Huh.
While you've been gone.
Huh? That's kind of good.
Not a whole lot. Just ain't been hearing much.
Well,
I guess that's good news too.
That's always good. No news is good.
Good
news.
Yes.
Hey, we got John on the air here.
Hey, John.
Hey.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, how you doing? How's everything over at Spencer?
Well, it's holding up. Good to hear Don's voice again.
Well, thanks.
I figured you'd make it back in good shape.
I did, but barely.
Hey, this is kind of a nerd call. Last week or two, we've been talking about different words, and one of them was the epizootic part of the hemorrhagic situation with the deer. And I heard you guys talking about that after I was off the line, and the epizootic being kind of a funny name.
Yes.
But I actually ran across that name in a reprint book from the 1800s about General Crook when he was out west with the Indian campaigns.
Yeah.
And he loved mules and had lots of them. And some of them come down with the epizootic, which I thought was kind of a joke word. And turns out it's a lung disease. And when they add hemorrhagic, that means it's turned bloody.
Right.
So that was kind of an origin thing there. The other thing you guys, and I think even I got in on this, we was talking about mango versus green pepper.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we was running through that and discussing why and how, you know. I just happened to run across an article this week in the newspaper where a woman was talking about mangoes, too. So I read the article to see if she knew what she was saying. And about halfway through the article, she switched it to bell peppers and explained that her folks, when they grew up out here in Owen County, had never seen a mango fruit, didn't know what it was, and they had heard mango applied to that green pepper, and they just continued to do so.
I believe that's probably the way that happened.
Yeah, and she said she kind of looked into it, the author said, and it's a little more widespread than you think, especially in rural areas that didn't import a lot of fruits back in the 40s and 50s and 60s.
Well, hey, listen, I gotta hook you up, put you on hold for a minute. We got a break coming up here, so hold on there, and we'll get back.
Don't go away. We'll be right back.
We gonna have some biscuits and gravy or anything?
Yeah, we might have some. Well, let me see what's in the kitchen.
Kind of hungry. All right.
Are you kind of hungry? Well, let me check the kitchen out.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
This is WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. And right now, we're still looking about 59 degrees. It's going to be sunny today. Beautiful day, high about 78, low tonight 58. And tomorrow, we're looking at a high of 82. It's going to get a little cloudier. And then we got slight chance of showers, and then looks like thunderstorms likely on Monday with a high of 80 degrees. on into Tuesday, maybe a slight chance. So it's going to be kind of cloudy and right around the 80s for the rest of the week. So watch out for that. But still a beautiful time to get out there and enjoy the outdoors. You're listening to Inside Outdoors. We'll be right back.
One year Billy went to camp, bought himself a great big amp. Of his amp, he's awful proud. He turns that amp up awful loud. Hey!
Hey!
Bill!
Bill!
Hey there, Bill, what you doing over there?
Hey there, Billy, what you doing over there?
Hey, I'm just sitting here.
All right. Well, we're back.
Me and Don's discussing, I don't know, we was discussing the epizootic. By
yeah.
golly, is John still there?
Yeah, he's still here. You there, John?
Yeah, I'm here.
John's over on the other side of the room.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, I didn't know that, but we learn something new every day. You know, you never get too old to learn something.
That's right.
And I'm like kind of like him. I thought the epizootic, I thought that was just more of a joke word. Oh, what's the matter with you? Well, I got the epizootic.
Yeah, it kind of covers everything.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. But I didn't know it. Well, it's actually a lung disease.
Yeah.
Now, that was kind of something I remembered when I heard you guys talking about it.
Uh-huh.
And I talked about the bell peppers. Now, right before your program today, there was a good short program on the modern manufacture of moonshine.
Hmm.
And it dealt with the history of it a little bit. And it was pretty interesting. It was only about 20 minutes long. But it was real interesting, and that reminded me of another word that I'd heard over the years, gouger.
Hmm.
We heard about people being gougers. We always
gougers.
Thought, or I always thought it was somebody that was just after your money or something.
It's a tool, isn't it?
Well, a gouge, without the er on it, a gouge is a tool.
Right.
But the origin of the gouger term, it is about money grabbers. It comes from Scotland when the moonshine people or the people making illegal liquor in Scotland, they were always being plagued by the gougers, which was what they called the taxmen.
The revenuers.
Uh-huh.
Revenuers, exactly. And a lot of people think all the shutdown on the early moonshine here in the States was over prohibition, but it was mostly over taxes.
Right.
John, tell me something. Do you make moonshine?
I don't make it, but I have enjoyed it.
You have enjoyed it?
Yes, sir.
I see. Well, I have a friend who, you know, it's not illegal to make a little bit.
Right.
And I have a friend who makes a little bit of rye whiskey that's pretty good.
Make it for personal use.
Oh, yeah.
It's just what you can convince them you're going to use.
On the other hand, you could just go to the liquor store and buy some Everclear.
Yeah.
That pretty much covers it.
They got several brands at the head for it. And this one fella down south they were talking to in that program, he said the biggest selling point of his moonshine is the little bit of history he puts on a card that goes out with the bottle.
Uh-huh.
He said that people love to know the history, and they'll buy his over somebody else's without a taste test just because they like that card.
That's a good marketing thing.
Hey, John, do you know what that tool looks like, the gouge tool?
Yeah, a gouge, it's like a curved-ended chisel.
Okay.
It's curved up on each side. So you gouge out a trail with it when you're working on a piece of wood. And they come in all sizes. You can have a very fine one up to a very large one.
Well, I'll be darned.
Just depends on how much wood you want to remove.
Uh-huh.
And that's what the gouge is. But actually, gouger came from the revenuer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like gouger better than taxman. I think that's a good name for it, because they've switched to a larger gouge tool for taxmans too.
I think you're exactly right. and I think they're still gouging.
That is, unless you have billions and billions of dollars like Amazon, then you don't need to worry about taxes.
You don't have to pay any, right?
Right.
Yeah. You got that.
Somehow, I don't know how understand how that works, but apparently somebody does.
And I don't think you will ever understand.
We can't afford the attorneys that figure that stuff out. That's the problem with that. Well, I'll let you boys go. It's good to hear you all this morning.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Yeah,
I got one other thing. I'd always heard that the small animals like squirrels and rabbits were on like a 3-year plus and minus as far as population.
Well,
now, I'm sure that's been affected by the way we use fertilizers and the climate and everything else. But I always heard that, and around here, I've lived out on this little hill for 45 years, and I got a lot of squirrels in some years, and I don't in some years, and it does kind of seem to be on a rotation.
Hmm.
Well, more or less, I think you're right. They go up and down.
Yeah.
And
I always heard it was about a 3-year deal, and I don't know how accurate that is. But that's just hearsay to me, but I noticed a rise and a decline, and rabbits are pretty hard to spot out here because they got so much woods. If some hadn't ate them, I don't see them until I see the tracks in the snow.
Uh-huh.
They do come around, but I hardly ever see a rabbit anymore. And like Don said, without the brush piles, I got some brush piles. I like them for the birds and the other critters, but my wife always hated them. She was always wanting me to burn every brush pile I had, but I always kept some.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, her daddy did, too. I always used that against her. I'd say, hey, your dad used to line his fence rows sometimes with brush. She'd say, well, that was because he just didn't have time to burn them. I said, no, he was making a home for the rabbits.
Yeah, he did.
You got to have those brush piles, and like Don said, you got a squeaky clean farm field. It looks pretty when it's growing, but it don't attract hardly any animals except deer.
Well, that's true. Coyotes, stuff like that.
All right, guys, I'll let you go.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling, and talk to you next week, John.
Okay, I hope so.
Well, you know, last week we were talking about honey, and we had a caller mentioned that he eats bee pollen and that they sell it around. And so I looked that up this week. And bee pollen, flower pollen is good for you. There's nectar and enzymes, and there's all kinds of stuff in there. It's considered to be, a lot of carbs. It's like 40% carbs, 35% protein. The other substances would be, vitamins and minerals and antibiotics and antioxidants and stuff. So it is good for you, even though we had never really heard about eating it or putting it on cereal or oatmeal or whatever, but apparently
honey,
they do.
Honey itself, if you buy raw honey instead of the processed stuff, is very good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Always has been a part of an ancient doctor's pharmaceutical kit. There's many things that honey can treat.
Noia.
Especially digestive stuff.
I asked King B about that pollen too. Of course, mm-hmm. He doesn't mess with it, but he told me the same thing you just got through saying, Rich.
Yeah.
And I didn't know you could buy it. He said it was in health stores and stuff, and he had it comes in on the legs of the bees, and and there you can order a board that the bees has to go through, and it more or less cleans their legs as they go through, and that pollen falls off, and and collects in that it's a little box board like,
right?
But he showed me one there. He brought a magazine and was showing me what it was, but I didn't know they saved the pollen really.
Well, can't you just see a guy sitting there with a pair of tweezers and say, give me that front leg, little buddy. That'd take a lot of effort.
That'd take a while, wouldn't it?
Well, I will say that the that stuff that you buy in big stores that they call honey is not really good for you. I mean, it can be kind of a, you want to get the real thing. You want to get the
right.
One. That's called raw honey.
And especially if you can get it locally, like Bill was saying last week, that, you know, it's helpful if you get bee honey from the area that you live in.
Right.
Rather than, say, some that was made in California, even if it was raw honey. It's better if it's pollen and stuff that's sort of in your environment to begin with.
Do you recall when they used to sell jars of honey with a piece of comb in it?
Oh, yes. That
and
comb.
Then you chew on that comb.
Yeah. Wax.
That was pretty good. Probably had more good stuff in it even than raw honey.
You could buy that comb in there and that honey in there just clear.
Right. Well,
oh, yeah, I like that comb honey.
Hey, since we're speaking about bugs, insects, are you done with honey?
No, I'm good.
Okay. This is a story out of Kansas City, Missouri. Susie Torres thought she had water in her ear.
Huh.
When it would not go away, she went to a doctor in for quite a surprise.
Oh, yeah?
She ran out and said, I'm going to get a couple more people. I think we have an insect in there, said the doctor.
Uh-oh.
Torres said while she didn't know exactly what was in her ear, she did not panic. When the doctor came back in, she told me it was a spider. They had a few tools and got it out. Doctors later told her it was a highly venomous brown recluse spider.
Oh, holy cow. Wow.
That sounds like that could be fatal.
Well, after the checkup, doctors told her that the spider did not bite her in the ear.
Boy, that's good.
I never thought they'd crawl in your ear or any part of your body, said the doctor. Well, now we know.
Yeah.
Now we know.
Ooh.
Yeah, how'd you like to have a brown recluse?
Oh, I hate them anyhow. And
yeah.
Oh, my, in your ear. Boy, that there.
They can get pretty good size, you know.
Oh, my, yes.
Put some.
He must not have been crawling out for food or anything, was he?
Yes. I don't know.
Evidently not.
Maybe he liked earwax.
Yeah, evidently he was eating earwax.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
This gal says, I went and put some cotton balls in my ear last night because I didn't have any earplugs. I'm pretty terrified of spiders. She must have been hearing the spider in her ear.
Mm-hmm. I imagine she was.
Oh, man. Spider in your ear.
No, that wouldn't be good.
Yeah. No, that wouldn't be good at all, huh? No, that's...
Several years ago out in Montana, we had a friend who got bitten by a brown recluse, and she had months of trouble trying
I bet.
It made a cyst-like on her arm where it bit her and kind of turned into a boil, and, you know, and, she had a real hard time getting rid of it.
And then the thing of it is that boil part or in the center of it will rot out.
Right,
actually
exactly.
Rot out.
Makes a hole in your skin.
Yes.
Well, that's how they kill you. You know, usually that injury, that bite, when it starts, it gets to that point where it's raw and open, can get infected. And that's the real danger of a bad spider bite.
Yeah.
So there you have it. And what else is going on? I noticed in looking over DNR's news releases in the past month that I've been gone, there was a whole bunch of off-road vehicle crashes in which people were maimed, injured, or killed.
Yeah, there's been several this year.
Just unbelievable. There was like three or four at the first week of August.
Yeah, there's been a lot of them.
I know the DNR is trying to educate people about this, but you can't educate people who are just crazy on them. And that's
that's where a lot of these are getting hurt.
That's right. That's
right. Killed and what have you.
Now, everybody out, you know, in the mountains has a four-wheeler, and they probably do some silly stuff too, but you don't hear of anybody getting killed at all. I mean, every once in a while, somebody gets killed in a snowmobile avalanche, something like that. But I haven't heard of any deaths on a ATV, you know.
Well, I haven't either, to be honest with you.
Out west, there's not as many people, but there's mainly, I think, not as many people crazy on them. because they use them to get someplace instead of just going.
Well, yeah, I was going to say they use them as a tool and not for
exactly
drinking whiskey and driving fast.
Drinking whiskey.
Moonshine.
I wouldn't doubt if almost any of these deaths, there's a little bit of alcohol involved, maybe some of that moonshine he was talking about.
And almost invariably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of times, and a lot of times there's, you know, there's not. But alcohol, well, just like boating accidents.
Oh, yeah, and that little girl that was killed at Monroe.
Of course, that wasn't an alcohol-related.
No, but gee whiz, she got killed by a prop.
Yeah, my Lord. I just can't imagine how them parents feel.
I can't imagine how it ever happened.
Well, she fell out and sucked her under.
Right into it, huh?
Yep.
Well...
That's pitiful. I don't even want to talk about it, really.
Now that my wife and I have grandchildren, we were talking about this the other day. The mom of the little grandchild was saying, oh, you'll be taking her fishing one of these days. Well, she's 2.5 mm-hmm. years old. I'm not taking her fishing until she's big enough to be in a boat.
Yeah.
And I don't want that responsibility. So let's say she's, what do you think it is, 10, 12 years old? Were you big enough to
probably
be in a boat with a life jacket on?
Oh, Lord, yes.
And when knowing this thing just happened, a rope tying you to the inside of the boat.
it wouldn't be a bad idea.
I'm not going out and take that risk because I know I'd get sued out of everything that I own if anything happened to that child.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean,
make sure they're big enough, I guess.
Yeah, well, of course, different kids, you know, mature differently, but I think you're right. 8 or 9, 10 years old, 12.
12.
Hey guys, we got to take a break for the station ID, and we'll be back in just a minute.
I'm looking
for those biscuits and gravy.
Don't go away. I smell them a cooking.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
This is WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. Right now we are looking at, and I'm going to refresh this, right around 60 degrees. Nope, 58. Okay. And today's going to be sunny, mostly clear tonight, high of 78. Tomorrow, high of 82, on into Monday, Tuesday, right around the 80 degree mark. But we're going to start seeing some rain on Sunday night, on into Monday, and probably quitting somewhere around Tuesday night. So expect a wet couple days in the beginning of the week, and then looks like just going to be kind of cloudy and 80 for the rest of the week. So enjoy it. It's a last of summer piece. Bye.
It ain't a bunch of beans they serve in the Navy.
Uh-uh. It's bacon and eggs,
biscuits and gravy.
Biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs, whole pot of coffee down to the dregs. When I get out of bed, my belly begs for biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs. That's biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
Yeah. Biscuits and gravy.
Yes, sir.
Bacon. I had bacon and eggs yesterday for breakfast.
Don said he didn't get very good biscuits and gravy out west.
No, they didn't have any sausage in it.
No.
And real thick gravy, just too thick, you know.
Well, I'll be darned.
So they haven't perfected biscuits and gravy out in Montana.
Evidently not. I'll have to go out there and show them how to do that.
Well, I wish you would, and before I get back, before I go out there again. Because I like biscuits and gravy, and it's a good order. You know, it's usually you can get a half order, you know. You don't have to overeat, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. But, man, it's hard to get that thick gravy with no sausage.
I know down in... what was the name of that little town? There by Sheridan.
Sheridan, Wyoming.
Sally worked in a
Sally?
The waitress, yeah. Worked there in a restaurant. In fact, she run it, more or less. And they had she had good biscuits and gravy.
Yeah,
we had them quite a few times when we was hunting out there.
Was it Sally's restaurant?
No. Tell you the truth, I can't remember what. That's been so long, I can't remember.
Well, I go through Sheridan sometimes driving out there. I did this time.
Yeah, well, yeah, you would.
Have some friends. Sheridan used to be kind of a rough little town.
Back years ago, it was really rough.
It was known for that.
When we first started hunting, me and Jim Arthur hunted out there back in the 70s. And we drove into Sheridan. Well, we camped outside Sheridan there at Claremont. But we went into Sheridan to get some groceries. And they was broken beer glass everywhere.
It sounds like Sheridan.
Oh, it was a mess. I mean to tell you, that town was a mess. But now, of course, I haven't been up there for about 15 years. But the last time we was up there, they'd cleaned it up quite a bit. It was pretty clean town.
Well, Gillette's still the same as it's always been.
It's worse, I think.
Well,
when they opened them mines and stuff up, I think it got worse.
Oh man, it's just, I don't know. I always, for some reason, I end up camping there because it's just where I stop on the road, I guess, where it falls. And the campgrounds are fine, but man, you get out of the side of that campground, better watch your step.
Uh huh. Yeah, when the coal mines and stuff opened up in there, it got rougher than a cob. When me and Jim went out there back in the 70s, they didn't have them, and it was a nice, clean town. And, we stopped there at the grocery store and got our groceries before we went on up to Claremont. And was in there shopping around, and here comes this guy, the manager of it, and said, "See you boys going camping." Yeah, we're going camping. He says, "You're going hunting too, ain't you?" I said, "Yep, we're going hunting." Well, he was from Michigan. He run that grocery store, manager of the grocery store, and he was from Michigan, and we got to talking, and everybody was real friendly. But now the after them coal mines opened up and them drifters come in there, I call them, we stopped out there and got out there. Well, it was dark. It was getting late. It was dark and stuff. And I said, "Well, let's get us a motel here, and then we'll go in the morning and set up tent and get ready." So we stopped at the motel and walked in, and I walked in there to get a room, and I looked around, and the lady said, "Can I help you?" I said, "Yeah, was looking for a room." She said, "Yeah, I got one." I said, "Well, not for me, you ain't. As dirty as this place is, I ain't staying." So I went back out, got in the car, and told Jim, "Drive on." We'd set up tent and stay in our own house. But it was filthy. I mean, that motel was filthy.
I have encountered a few of those in the past.
Oh, it was dirty. I mean, you can see it. I mean, it had carpet. My God, it was, the ground was cleaner than that carpet was in that.
Well, going out there one year, Bill, well, I was with my buddy Brian. We were driving out to Montana. And, we were getting late, and we stopped at this motel. And said they only had one room, and we took it, and we went in. Now, I've seen some pretty strange things in motel rooms before, but this one, when you pull back the sheets, there was hay in it.
Hay?
Hay. Bits of hay.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. Like
maybe, the horses have been in there.
Maybe the horse was in there sleeping. or something.
Was you in a stable or a motel?
No, it was a motel.
Okay.
I had one of those cover-up bags, that you use to protect yourself in motel rooms. So that's what I slept in that night. But my buddy Brian, he didn't have one of those, so he got to sleep in the hay.
Ooh.
He got to sleep in the hay, and he did get up in the middle of the night and go in and get some clean sheets.
Oh my God!
Put them on himself, but he had already been exposed to the hay.
I'm wondering how in the world hay would have. Well, somebody.
I was afraid to ask him.
Somebody pulling a joke.
Well, I don't know.
Well, it had to have been a housekeeper or something because they'd have been the last one in there.
Well, I don't think there'd been any housekeeper in there for some time.
Oh, well. There again, was you in a motel or a stable?
A motel. I don't remember where that motel was, but I would certainly recognize it again.
I bet. Was that on your way out to Montana?
Yes.
Was it?
Yes. So that's one of the reasons I bought a camper, so I stay in a camper now.
You're better off.
I don't have to worry about hay in my bed.
The hay and bed bugs and
none of that
cockroaches.
Stuff. None of that stuff. And all the dirt that's in there is my dirt.
Yeah. It's not somebody else's.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, my.
Well, you know. That's
so did you do any fishing while you were out there?
Oh, yeah. Of course, I was in bed for a week and at the Red Lodge Clinic from some epizootic I picked
up. Oh, you got the epizootic too, huh?
Oh, man, I picked it up here in Bloomington. Actually, last Saturday I was in here, I was starting to get sick.
You was puny.
I was starting to get sick. And about halfway across the country, it full-blown hit.
Ooh.
And by the time I got to Montana, I was flat on my back. And was that way for a week. For a week. So I missed a whole week.
Mm.
But weather was good, and I went fishing the last couple of weeks, you know, and fishing was as good as it's been since the 90s when everybody pretty much says that's when it was the best, before the movie A River Runs Through It
mm-hmm.
came out and whirling disease hit the Madison River, et cetera, et cetera. Now, that's the hangover from that is still happening. So in Yellowstone National Park, every hole has at least two guys in it, you know, every hole in every stream. And so if you really want to do any fishing and have the kind of experience you wanted when you went out to the Rocky Mountains, you got to fish outside the park. So those streams are hardly touched because the guides don't, from the outfitters, don't take people there. They all want to take them into the park because the park lets them bring their horse trailers in and ride their commercial groups up the up and down the valleys while the rest of us walk, you know. So anyway, the fishing was really good.
And good.
I caught quite a few small rainbows, you know, that's that 10 to 12 inch thing, and some really nice little brookies, maybe 12, 13 inches. Fat.
What
little
size limit on them? Are there a size limit?
Which, yeah, there is on... Well, let's see. The size limit's kind of different in Wyoming. You got you can only keep like one fish over 14 inches in a day, and you can keep brook trout usually, or you can keep all of them you want because they're trying to get rid of them. I like to see them personally, but I caught two or three really nice brookies, and had I been keeping fish, they'd have been a good dinner.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have been a real good dinner. And the flies that you could, just about every fly that I tied on got a strike. So had a shot at some pretty nice big rainbows.
I bet them flies was not happy.
Well, them flies are not alive.
Oh, they're not alive, okay. Man, tie a fly on there, I bet he was really upset.
You'd have to tie a fly on there. I've never seen a guy try that, but. you know,
keep looking.
maybe a beetle might work a little better because you could actually run a hook through.
I was going to say he'd be a little harder shelled.
Yeah, right. Now a fly, you can't run a hook through them.
Well, you can, but he may not stay long.
Or a no-see-em.
Oh God, no-see-em. You ain't going to run enough. You're not even going to run a thread through that one.
I guess not.
They're so small.
Well, I want to remind all you listeners out there, if you have anything that you'd like to pass along to us this morning, your views on the world situation in general, we're at 812-323, what's the last four?
1200.
1200.
Yep.
812-323-1200. Please call us.
Yeah, Don's getting lonesome.
I'm running out of things to say.
Yeah.
I'm not used to doing
that. Well, we can talk a little bit about the Friends of Lake Monroe.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I seen in the Daily Rag where they were getting active and was getting some grants and things to hire somebody to come in and figure out what's going on down there and I guess lead them in the right direction of taking care of the lake. And when I read that, I thought, well, you know, the horse has been out of the barn for 3 weeks, and now they're closing the door.
Yeah, well, it's more like 50 years.
Well, yeah, it's 50 years, really, and they set rules and regulations back in 1964 when the lake was built.
And didn't follow them.
And didn't follow them, right.
Which is the problem with regulations.
And well, and that's the problem with the lake, and now they're going to spend over $100,000 of taxpayer money to do the same thing they done in 1964, and they won't follow that either because they can come up with all the rules and regulations they want, but unless government, our commissioners and elected officials do their part, there's nothing they're going to do about it.
Well, you know, all you got to do is look at the history of the county, and you can see that the developers got what they want in nearly every case that's come
up. Pretty much, yes. Yeah.
I mean, just nearly every case. And they always cry that, oh, this is too restrictive. We won't be able to build a thing after you pass this law. Well, it doesn't seem to have been the case, at least for these 4 or 5-story apartment buildings that we've got all over Bloomington now.
Oh, isn't that and Walnut Street down here? My gosh,
the canyon, you mean?
Oh, Lord, that's yeah. Pitiful.
It's really turned us into a really crummy looking city.
It has.
I mean, it used to be pretty with big trees on the streets. Now we got brown brick and aluminum
and concrete,
vinyl, and empty bottom floors. The first floor where all this retail space that they put in every one of these things.
Yep.
I haven't seen any. Well, maybe one or two of them have something in them, but most of them are empty.
Well, you know, there's only so much retail can go in a place, and after a while, you know, you run out of retail.
Well, I know of one case in town, a little shop that's tied in with Sciota Zai, a women's service group here in town, and she's going to have to pay $150,000 down payment to get into one of these retail places.
Do what now? $150,000,
right,
to get into it,
right?
I don't understand that.
Well, they're obviously trying to keep them empty so they're going to have a place to put the homeless in the future.
Oh, I see what the point is now. Yeah, okay. I wasn't thinking ahead of you there.
Well, we got a lot of street-level floor space there.
Yeah, well, that's a good place for them. I mean, you know, that's good and warm there and right off the street, and they can just walk in, walk out. Yeah, that'd be nice for them.
I think that's probably what will happen to them. And of course, the tenants of these buildings probably won't care for it too much. But
well, no, they'll probably revolt.
Oh, by the way, speaking of people, what do I want to say? Protesting. Yeah, I think this farmers market thing, you know, that happened before I left, is still going on, isn't it?
Yeah, to a certain extent, I guess. I've not really followed it. They moved out east of town there in the old Kmart parking lot. I didn't know where you knew that or not. But they did open this one back up here on Morton.
I heard that they did.
Uh-huh.
So I thought I'd head down there this morning and get
and
myself.
And just check her out.
I want to get some sweet corn and maybe some tomatoes and green beans.
Uh-huh.
If anybody has anything. Of course, and then I can get a look at whatever they are that are protesting this and that down there. And I think they're supposed to be neo-Nazis. Is that what they are?
Something
like that?
The Schooner Farms.
The Schooner Valley Farms.
People belong to...
that's in Brown County,
hate by the group.
Way. White supremacists, wasn't it?
Well, you know, I remember Schooner Valley...
Oh, yeah, Schooner Valley.
I used to fish there.
A lot of hunting up in there, and it goes up to the dead ends there at the park.
It's a beautiful area.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It looks like it's all off limits now. You know, it looks like it's all no trespassing now.
Can't go up there?
I don't know. It didn't look
Oh, you can surely drive up through there. There's a county road up through there.
Well, you get to a fence or a gate there at some point.
Well, the park and dead ends there at the park.
Yeah. Well, in any
anyways.
Case, yeah. So we're going to go down and take a look at what's going on at the farmer's market today.
Well, they, I guess, had a pretty good success out at the old Kmart parking lot where they was out there, moved out there for a day or two or a week or two, I guess.
Well.
And you were mentioning some other issues with farmers markets lately. Oh, we're running out of time as soon as I bring that up, but we hope that everybody gets a chance to go in there and basically sell your wares, like even if it's more than one person, right, Bill?
Yeah, right, right.
But anyway, I'm glad, Don, you're back. We're running out of time.
Thank you.
And it's been great to have you on the show. And Bill, like always, been great having you. And that's about it for us this week.
Well, everybody take care. Have a good week. Enjoy this cooler weather. And we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
All right. That's all we have time for today. Inside Outdoors comes to you from the beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliances and Service, serving Monroe County since 1954 at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana, and all with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich.
So thanks everybody for listening and tuning in this morning, and so we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.